All right, so this morning I want to talk about inheritance. That is a big topic. You know, if you're just in the natural world, inheritance, there's sometimes fights over inheritance and, what did he leave me and what am I getting from him and from this mom and this granny or grandpa, and it can sometimes be an awkward thing. But before I want to talk about inheritance, I just want to mention this quickly because it's going to link in with what I'm talking about, inheritance. And beginning of the year, we spoke about vision of cross-culture, and it was a scripture where it says Israel was starting to rebuild the walls, and they were broken and burned stones, and those broken and burned stones are the lives of people. They used to be worthless, useless, but God doesn't see lives like that. So God takes lives and rebuilds broken lives to something good and glorious that's been restored by God. And part of the vision of cross-culture is a rebuilding of broken lives. Lives have been hurt, people have been abused, people have been hurt by church, family, whatever it is. People have got baggage, and they've attached that baggage to them so tightly that they think that's who they are. And that is part of the inheritance of cross-culture as well, is to restore broken lives. And you know what? It's not inheritance in terms of money or physical land that we can take to heaven one day. But that inheritance are the lives of people that were either not going to see God when they die, but now they do. So that inheritance are the lives of people that's being restored. And just something else, just going over my notes this morning, I felt God say this, that today a process is starting of taking back lost ground. And I'm going to talk a bit later about how the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy, and how that he wants to rob us. And he's taking ground in our lives that doesn't actually belong to him. And this morning starts a process of taking back that ground. Do you feel some of the tension that I've got in me? Okay. So I've just chatted about inheritance of cross-culture, vision of cross-culture, but I also believe that there is an inheritance for individuals. So as a church, I believe God's cross-culture is God's idea, and God from the beginning of time said, one day there will be a church, and these people will be in that church, and this is what I want to achieve through those people. So it's God's, and if you look at inheritance, this is what it is. It is the plans and purposes of God achieved through cross-culture. Individual inheritance, the plans and purposes of God achieved through your life. And I think we get mixed up very easily because we've got plans and purposes, and God's got plans and purposes. And we get in a place where we say, no, my plans and purposes are the one that counts now. And those are the one that's more important than God's plans and purposes. And the devil come with a very sly and way and say, no, don't believe that. You just keep busy with your plans and purposes. Don't worry about God's plans and purposes. So the tragic thing is that we can miss our inheritance by being busy with our plans and purposes and not busy with God's plans and purposes. Because the plans and purposes of God, that's our inheritance. But there is the danger. So I can stand up and in the church and say, you know what? I believe that the plans and purposes for God, my inheritance as an individual, is to feed homeless people. And any Christian would look at that and say, that is wonderful. Wow, that is wonderful. But that's going to mean that I have to go on Sundays because the program runs on a Sunday morning. I'm going to miss church. I'll be able to get to church once a month. Is that the plans and purposes of God? It's a good thing to feed homeless people. It's a good thing. But is that a God thing? Will God take you away from his body to go and feed people? You know, you can probably feed them another time. So although there might be good things, the plans and purposes of God for your individual life will most often will have to link up with the plans and purposes of your church. And you know what? We cannot do this alone. We cannot have our plans and purposes, run our own little race, and then try and do it by ourselves. Because we are not going to make it. We're not going to make it. You know, everywhere in the Bible, there's so many pictures of what this church looks like. It's pictures of the body. It's a building. We are linked together. You know, the hand cannot live on its own and do its own thing. Every part of the body needs each other. So I didn't ask Paul, but I want to use him as an example. I think he'll be okay. So after Thailand, he said, came back. He said there's something that he feels God is calling them as a family, you know, in Perth. And they've been looking at things in the city and, you know, what has God got for them? There's something there. And I know Paul well enough and we've been rubbing off in home group, so we've got a good relationship. I think I can say this. But you know what? And I know he won't do it, but Paul can say, you know what? My inheritance for me is, you know, evangelism in the city, but we are going to do it by ourselves alone. It might start off well, but you know what? There is a load that he's going to carry of what God wants to do through that. And will he be able to carry it alone? It's going to be tough. He will probably get burnt out, stressed out. His family will be stressed out. But you know, when you do it as part of a body, he's got other people that comes alongside him. And when he gets tired and weary, there's other people that can step up and lift his arms and give him a break and say, listen, we are with you. We can do it together. So we need each other. So individual inheritance and corporate inheritance will always link together. I mean, the church, rebuilding of broken walls, it's not a committee that's going to do that. It's not a board of directors who's going to live out that thing. It's us together. So please be careful. Whenever you want to be a lone ranger or a cowboy going your own way, just sit down and think about it. Because that is not the pattern that we see in the Bible. There's always, in the New Testament, God is talking to churches. He's talking to the body of Christ. We all link together. We need each other. Otherwise, the devil just comes, poke a few flesh buttons, and then we're off the rail. I am going off my topic a little bit. I'm going on too much. Let me carry on. Okay, so individual, corporate, they go hand in hand. Don't be a lone ranger. We need each other. Don't be fooled by I can do it on my own. Cool. Let me read a scripture about inheritance. It's Matthew 21:33. If you want to go in your Bibles. Matthew 21:33. Okay, and I'll read from verse 33. It says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. So there was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. That's a very, very sad story. And that parable's got a lot of connotations to it, what the watchtower means, and the wine press, and the sun, and the vines, and everything. But this morning, I want to talk about the vineyard and the wicked tenants who came to kill the son because they wanted to take away his inheritance. So let's imagine this. We live close to the Swan Valley, we see vineyards every day, and they are beautiful and lovely. And there's always big houses on vineyards, because normally, if they're well kept and looked after, they can produce quite a bit of money. So let's say your parents leave you an inheritance, you get 20 hectares of a 20 hectare vineyard. And you say, but you've got an office job in the city or whatever, this is a bit new to you. It's lovely. If you look after it and you're going to work it, you are going to get quite a big income. And I had a quick look yesterday of what the income will be on a 20-hectare vineyard, and it's quite a bit. It can be, depends on the type of grapes or whatever you've got. That's okay. Type of grapes you've got, anything between $400,000 and $1 million will be your revenue per year on that. So that's quite an inheritance. So you say, wow, how nice is that? My loving, kind, generous parents left me an inheritance of 20 hectare vineyard. But you know what? That is going to be worthless if you don't actually go there and work it and look after it and take the responsibility. Because with that inheritance, with that vineyard comes responsibility. You have to make sure there's no weeds. You have to make sure no one goes there and destroys. You have to make sure no one plants anything else in your vineyard. There's a lot of, it's a big responsibility that comes with inheritance. In the same way, how awesome is it that God gives every person here an inheritance? Every person. There is not a person on this earth that God hasn't got an inheritance planned ready for him. So everyone here has got inheritance. Everyone here got a vineyard that God has given to him. How beautiful is that? But with that inheritance comes responsibility. So we can either walk and say, God, I don't believe that really because I've got my vineyard. And God says, no, that's a veggie patch. That's not a vineyard. And God says, no, I've got a vineyard for you. And there's vines that's fruitful, and that is inheritance, and that's the lives of people, and it starts by your own life. And so please be aware. Don't settle for your veggie patch or argue with God and say, God, sorry, but the vineyard that you've got in mind for me is it's going to be hard work, and nah, I'm just keeping with my little veggie patch here. Please don't settle for a veggie patch. Take on God's inheritance, that vineyard for your life. But with it comes responsibility. We have to look after that. The vines in the vineyard are the plans and purposes for your life. The vines in the vineyard are the plans and purposes of God for your life. And the vines in the vineyard are the plans and purposes for cross culture. The plans and the purposes of God. I mean, we can so easily mix it up with our plans and our purposes. But it's the plans and purposes of God for your life. And I spoke in the beginning of that inheritance and what that plans and purposes look for cross-culture. And we're starting to slowly step into that repairing of broken walls, repairing of the lives, broken lives of people who's been hurt, who's been rejected, who's got baggage. And you know what? That starts with us. That starts with you. The first life that God wants to sort out is your life. To make sure that you are free of your baggage. Because sometimes we carry baggage and then we identify ourselves so closely with this baggage that we're unfruitful and not effective for God and His kingdom. Does that make sense? So, here we are. God says, I've got this amazing inheritance for you. I've got this lovely vineyard for you. So what now? Where do we start? What do we do? Now, I think the first thing that we have to do is to look at some of the dangers that can step in. Verse 38 says, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So we quickly had a stopover with Matt and Tracy yesterday, and Matt had a t-shirt on with a massive target on his shirt. And you know what? That's exactly what we do when you're a Christian and you say, yes, God, I want to take hold of, I want to step into my inheritance, I want to take hold of my vineyard. You put on a t-shirt with a big target because that's what the devil says. That's him. He's the son. Let's kill him and take his inheritance. And you know what? That's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to kill you or he wants to rob you of your inheritance. So whenever you're a Christian and you say, God, I'm not going to joke around anymore. I really want to live for you. You put on a t-shirt with a target and the enemy says, that's it. Let's take him out. Cool. So it's not a game. It's quite a serious thing. We've got a real enemy and we're in a real war. That enemy wants to take away your vineyard. He wants to steal, rob, and destroy. How does he do that? How does he do that? It's very easy, actually. If he can break up families, there goes your inheritance. Very difficult to get it back. If he breaks up families, if he causes me and Maureen to argue, not agree, be grumpy, marriages, if the devil comes in, my husband irritates me or my wife irritates me. That's the start. That's what the enemy wants to do. If he can get in marriages, if he can get in families and destroy and disrupt families, he wants to kill your inheritance. Because if he gets your marriage, he's probably going to get your kids. I mean, God's will is for you to be saved. God's will is for your kids to be saved. How lovely is inheritance? You can say, my kids are Christians. Their kids will be Christians. Their kids will follow God. Their kids will... What a beautiful inheritance of a family line that the kids all are Christians and follow God. And if he breaks up a marriage, and if he breaks up the relationship in families, cut off the inheritance. You lose it. So relationships, marriages. Let me read the scripture. It's another way of how he's going to rob us and steal us of our inheritance. Luke 13, verse 6. If you want to go there, I'm going to read it. Is one way of how we can lose our inheritance or be unfruitful. Because it's nice to have inheritance, and if you're unfruitful, you're not going to produce anything. So what's the fruit of your inheritance? And God's plan is that we are fruitful. God's plan is that we will have lots of fruit, lots of people coming into the kingdom. So Luke 13, verse 6 says this. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. And here's a man, you say, what a weird story. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. And just a few things. Look, a fig tree is not a bad thing. I love figs. Mark enjoys figs. We are quite a fig family. but you know, a fig tree that's not in the proper place is not a good thing. And especially if you plant it in the middle of your inheritance, in the middle of your vineyard. But why is that? Do you ever see other crops planted in the middle of the vineyard? Never. Do you see maize or corn or anything else planted in the middle of a vineyard? You don't. And the reason is, in the Old Testament, God said, don't plant two types of seeds together. Two different types of seeds together. And the reason for a vineyard is, a vineyard doesn't like competition. Because that fig tree will take the nutrients, use up the soil of the vineyard, and that vineyard, it will affect its fruitfulness. The vineyard will suffer. So now you've got this rich inheritance, and you want to give it away for figs. How sad is that? What is the income of figs? I don't know. It can't be much. Look, I've got a fig tree farm or whatever. Anyway, so this is what, and look what this man is doing. So the thing doesn't even bear fruit. There's not even figs on the tree. And he said, no, don't cut it down. Let's give more money to it. Let's give more time to it. And he said, I'll dig around it, fertilize it. So there's more labor. So is there a fig tree in your vineyard that takes your time, that takes your money, that takes effort, your energy, that you can try and grow and is not producing fruit, but it's affecting your inheritance? And I pray that God will today show us those things. If there's a fig tree in your inheritance that's taking up soil, that's taking up your money, that's taking up your time, that's taking up your energy, but it's going to leave you unfruitful. And I pray that the Holy Spirit this morning will highlight those things in our lives, the things that we spend our money, time, effort, energy on. Because the devil wants to say, you know, here's a wonderful thing, and it might not even be sin, it might be a good thing, but it's not a God thing. And we must be aware that the devil doesn't give us second prize. You know, oh, take this, you know, fig tree will grow quickly, and figs are nice, have it. But then we plant in the middle of our inheritance. And it's not always easy to see the fig trees in our vineyard. You know, it's easy to say these things. It's easy to stand here and say it. But to live it out is not that easy. How do we do that? And I believe that when we live in community and really start to rub off each other and let people in your life see what's going on in your life, because a lot of, we all got blind spots. You know what, we might have a fig tree that's in the middle of our vineyard and we don't even know about it. And we've grown up with this thing in our vineyard and we don't even know it's a fig tree. We think it's part of the vine, you know. And I love this fact that at home group is a place where that starts. This last Wednesday was so lovely. And we start to encourage each other. And, you know, it was nice. And I hope that's the start of more. That we see things in each other's lives and encourage and say, you know, this is what I see in your life. Just wake up, walk in it. You know, don't sit and sleep and lose these things. So first of all, be part of a community and allow people in your life. People that were hurt normally don't allow people to get close to them. As soon as people get close to them, they stiff arm you and they say, keep your way. It is not they want to do. They want to do that, but that is a reaction to keep them safe because they've been hurt in the past. Don't let that happen to you. You've been hurt in the past. Get close to Jesus. Give it to him and listen to what he say. He will say it's okay. And let him take it away. Let him take it away. The enemy can come with plans disguised as plans from God that will take your time, money, and energy. And you know what? It's good enough to have a vineyard. It's good enough to have your inheritance. But it needs to be fruitful. Otherwise, what is the use? If you're not going to get a harvest out of that, if our inheritance is going to be nothing, you know, we need to be fruitful. So the next few things I want to chat about is, how do we release the fruitfulness in our vineyard? How can we make sure that we're going to be fruitful with our vineyard and with our inheritance that God has got planned for us? And Hebrews 12 says this. So, sorry, I'm not reading it straight away. I just want to say this. How can we be fruitful with the plans and purposes of God? Plans and purposes of God? We can either neglect it, it's going to bear no fruit, or we can be fruitful with the plans and purposes for your life. So Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud, great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What is hindering you from taking your inheritance? What is hindering you from stepping into the vineyard that God has got planned for you? What is hindering you to step in the plans and purposes of God in your life? What are those things that's keeping you away from that? And then the second point out of that scripture, what I want to highlight is this, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Let us run with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And that word fixing in the original language, it's a difficult word that I cannot pronounce, but it says this. It says to take your eye off some things and fix it on something. So it's taking your eyes off different things. So because you've got your eye on, let's say, four or five things, take your eye off that and fix it on something, one thing. And that is what that means. So take your eyes, what is distracting you at the moment, take your eye off that and fix it on Jesus. John 15 says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And that is, ouch, that's not a nice scripture to read or to do. Pruning, allow God's pruning in your life. And a lot of pruning deals with character issues. So if God looks at your life and he says, look, these are the plans and purposes I've got for you, but before we walk fully in that, there's some changes that we need to make. Because God wants to look at you and say, man, that's a man that I can trust. But some of his character traits is a bit wonky. So a lot of the pruning is a lot of the time is character issues that God wants to sort out. You know what? And you have to allow God to do the pruning. Because the pruning is not always nice, but it will affect your fruitfulness. If you allow God the pruning, all that dead branches will be cut away. The fruit will be bigger. There will be more fruit. Allow God to do the pruning. And the pruning is uncomfortable. It is not nice. You know, you have to allow God to do the pruning in your life. And maybe you're at a stage in your life where you think, oh man, it's so and it's difficult. You know, push through. Allow God in. Allow God in. And then verse 15, verse 4 says this: remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So this is what happens. So, with that, I just want to read the scripture, Romans 11, 17. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this: you do not support the root, but the root supports you. And going back to that verse 4, remain in me, no branch can bear fruit by itself. We have to remain in Jesus. And if you are grafted in, obviously you've got the, let's say that's talked about an olive shoot or an olive tree. You've got the original tree. They cut a V in the original tree. They cut a shape like that in the original tree. A V in the branch, put it in there, tape it around, and that becomes part of the original tree. So in the same way, and that branch start to get the nourishing sap from the original plant. And that is what happens with us. So we are cut off, we are stuck into Jesus, into this original plant, original vine. Tape us up, and over time we grow together and we receive that nourishing sap from Jesus. But this is what we do. We loosen the tape and we pluck ourselves out and we stick ourselves into the ground again. And we lose the nourishing sap of Jesus. And we become grumpy. We become disillusioned. We can't see anymore. Everything is fuzzy. I can't even see my vineyard anymore. I haven't got energy for this vineyard. This vineyard is irritating me. There's weeds growing. Why? Because you try and pluck yourself from Jesus. We're not supposed to live without him. The only way we can survive if we are grafted in him. Put the tape around. Leave it there. Stay there. Don't go away. You have to become one with Jesus and every day realize and get the nourishing sap from Jesus. You know, this next week in home group, I hope everyone's going to be there. It's going to be a very exciting conversation. And we're going to start to talk about feelings, thoughts, emotions. And that is one area where the devil just nails us all the time. Feelings, our thoughts, and our emotions. And it is so easy that we run our own life governed by our feelings, our emotions, and our thoughts. And what we're doing, we're saying, God, not your feelings, your emotions, your whatever, mine is more important. And I'm going to live my life according to what I think, what I feel, and what I experience emotionally. And God comes second. And what God wants to do is to say, if you grafted into me and receive my nourishing sap, I will affect your thoughts, I will affect your emotions, and I will affect your thinking. And, you know, people say, oh, I struggle with thoughts, and I think we all do. But you know what? We've got control of our thoughts. We have to replace those thoughts with the thoughts of God. But here lies the problem. We have to have something to replace it with. If we are empty, if we don't receive that nourishing sap from Jesus, we're not going to have anything to draw on. And you're going to ask God, oh God, I'm struggling with these thoughts, help me. And God says, look, I can't. Maybe if you start reading your Bible or listen to something or, you know, spend time with other Christians, you might get something to think about. But if you don't, your tank is empty. Sorry. Yeah, you're stuck with your own thoughts. So very important, be grafted in and don't pull yourself out of Jesus. You need his nourishing sap. Get rid of things that hinders you from entering your vineyard. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Take your eyes off the other things that's going to distract you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Stay in Jesus. Allow God to prune you. Stay in the nourishing sap of Jesus, that is there, so that he can help you and give you power. John 15:9. I'm almost done. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. When we are obedient, we will be fruitful and we will remain in his love. If we don't keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, if we don't allow the pruning of God, if we are not grafted into Jesus on a daily basis and stay there, if we're not obedient, we are not going to be fruitful and we won't be able to achieve and live into the plans and purposes that God's got for us. It's easy. We can do it, but we can also very easily lose it. What I want to do this morning is just to stir something in us, because I think this is a massive, massive topic, and it's very difficult to cover it in 20 minutes or 30 minutes, but I want the Holy Spirit to remind you of the things that I said, that you know what, people think, oh, what is my purpose? I just work and eat and sleep and go. You know what? God's got a purpose and a plan. It's his. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. Every person here has got a vineyard that needs to be fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. And we need each other. We cannot do it by ourselves. Allow people in your life. Allow people in your life. If you walk alone and you never let people get close to you, you will never be able to live in the fullness and the fruitfulness of this. Let me just summarize. We've got inheritance. God gave you a vineyard, that is your inheritance. The plans and purposes of God that he wants to achieve in and through your life. With inheritance comes responsibility. We have to look after our inheritance. We have to take care of our inheritance. The enemy wants to rob, destroy your inheritance. He wants to make you unfruitful. He wants to plant fig trees in the middle of your vineyard. That's going to take your time, energy, and money. They will be a distraction and you'll be unfruitful. Throw off the things that hinder you, hinder your walk with God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Allow God to prune you. Allow God to prune your character. Remain in Jesus. You have to be grafted in to receive the nourishing sap of him. And be obedient. Without those things, you're not going to get your inheritance. You're going to be unfruitful and you're going to be stuck with a veggie patch. Who wants to be stuck with a veggie patch? Look, I've got 6 carrots today. God's got more than that. God's got more than that. I want to pray for us. Just close your eyes. And if you feel God is saying anything, just respond to him. And please just don't stay where you are. If you feel God is prompting you, make the changes. Dig a little bit further and don't leave it there. I want to thank you, God, for who you are, that you are marvelous. You are so much more than we can think or imagine, Lord God. Your saving power is absolutely magnificent. I sometimes think, oh God, how much effort does it take to take away my sins? And if I sin again, how much effort does it take away your? How much effort is that for you to take away those sins? And God says it's nothing. It doesn't even take effort. You know what? If you're a new creation, you're a new person, it's taken care of. It's done. It's done. Don't let sin affect your walk, affect your inheritance. And God, I want to pray this morning. I want to thank you, first of all, that you've got plans and you've got purposes for every person here. You've given every person here a vineyard. You've got specific ideas and plans that you want us to walk in and you want us to be fruitful. Thank you, God, that you've got inheritance plans for every person here. And I want to pray this morning, Lord God, and I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you will highlight this morning. If the devil wants to come and plant a fig tree in the middle of our inheritance, I pray that you will highlight that over the coming days. And even now, Lord God, highlight the fig trees that's going to ruin our vineyard, that's going to ruin our inheritance, that's going to cause us to be unfruitful. Will you do that, Lord God? Highlight it to us. And then I want to pray that you'll give us the courage to cut it out. Give us the courage and the boldness, God, to stand up and say, I recognize what this is. This is something from the enemy. It might not even be sin. It might just not be something from God. And I pray, God, that you'll give every person here the courage to recognize that and to cut that out of his vineyard so that we can be fruitful and walk in the plans and purposes that God's got for us. Thank you, God, that you are with us. Lord God, as soon as I said, as soon as we put on this T-shirt, we got a target on our back, and then the devil wants to come and rob, steal, and destroy. And I want to pray, Lord God, in this morning that I felt that today is a start of taking back ground. If that's in your marriage, if that's in the relationship, if that's in business or work or finances or kids, God, it starts now. It starts now, today, here and now. And thank you, God, that it's not us that's taking back the ground. We are saying, yes, we want to, but God, it's you that's coming and you taking back the ground as we work and partner with you. So I want to declare that over us, Lord God, that today starts the taking back of ground that the enemy has taken in our lives, Lord God. And I want to thank you for the lovely, good, fruitful inheritance that you've got planned for us. Help us, God, to be aware of your inheritance. Help us, God, not to just make it over something that's not worth anything. Will you burn that inheritance into our hearts, Lord God, that we've got a plan and a purpose directly from God. We are not worthless. We're not just a heap of broken stones lying somewhere. But God, you see us as something useful. You restore and make us new. And you want to build us in a wall that's going to be beautiful and whole.